Turn with me in hymnals to hymn number 545, hymn number 545, He Lifted Me. And let's stand together as we sing this last hymn together. Hymn number 545, He Lifted Me.
Responsibly, verses 1 through 8, Romans 8, 1 to 8. Beginning on verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather today with you to praise your holy name, Lord, to continue that relationship that you established on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you for life eternal. We thank you, Lord, for the daily ministration in our hearts that you perform for us. And we pray now, Lord, that you'd help us to draw closer to you, Lord, to be strengthened by the preaching of your word. Lord, help us to forget the world out there, and Lord, just concentrate on you today. Lord, bless us, and help us, Lord, to be all we can for you. Lord, I thank you for our pastor, for the message that's been prepared for us, and I pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts to receive it. In your precious name we ask, amen. Please be seated. We'll now have Mrs. Judy Judge.
Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8, the Holy Ghost. As Pastor Galacki has already read, verses 1 through 8, we're going to continue on and read just a couple more verses, but I want to show you the divide that we see in Romans chapter 8. If you have to, you can just turn me off and I can speak loud. We're okay? All right. Romans chapter 8, the first few verses, you'll notice the Bible says in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin." And so for the first verse of chapter 8, we are introduced to what the Holy Spirit can do as far as removing condemnation from our lives when Christ comes into our lives and His Holy Spirit enters into us. But the first eight verses of Romans chapter 8, the theme of those verses really is the flesh. And in my Bible, I've drawn just a little line underneath verse 8, and I've put an arrow upward, and I've put the word flesh, and then I put the arrow downward from that same line and put spirit. And you will see that as we read on in verse 3, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh." The flesh, the law, could not redeem you. It could not reconcile you to God. Verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh." Verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death." Carnally minded is fleshly minded. But in verse 7, "But the carnal mind is enmity against God." Verse 8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And so the theme of the first eight verses is the flesh. And how the living in the flesh and walking in the flesh and following your flesh will destroy you. But now from verse 8 and verse 9 on, I should say, we see the Spirit of God. The Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." So you can see the transition there, can't you? We are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm just going to stop there and make our prayer this morning. There's much more, a lot of Scripture I want to look at today. But let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing on our time together. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful already and we're pleased to be here, Lord, to hear the songs of Your saints. And we pray, Lord, that it would bless our hearts to hear the old hymns of the faith and these spiritual songs that have been shared. And we pray that You are honored and glorified. Father, as we turn to Your Scripture now, help us, Lord, as we learn more about Your Holy Ghost. And I pray that You teach us and help us. Father, there's a lot of material. And I pray, Lord, that You keep my thoughts straight. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. I need Your help today. And Lord, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting to me, and I'm going to try to change the way you think a little bit this morning, because I've had to change the way I think. Now, I'm not going to change the way you talk, because we've said it for so long, and it's actually the exact Word of God, and we don't want to change that. But I want you to understand something this morning. A lot of times when we pray, we'll ask for the filling of the Spirit, won't we? Say, "God, fill me with the Holy Spirit." We'll ask for the Holy Ghost. We'll ask for the Holy Spirit. We refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit. But in your thinking, as long as you're speaking like that, that's fine, because the Bible refers to Him as the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, and I understand that. But I want you to get this one thought this morning, and if we can just kind of drive it home today, He is a person. Do you understand that? He is a person. He is not an it or a the, and I know it's just because of the English language, it's so hard for us to express what we are meaning. And the Word of God talks about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ and all the rest, and I understand that. But be reminded that even though the Bible refers to Him as the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, we need to be reminded that He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need to be reminded that He is a person.
Now, I want to be honest with you that I believe that it has been the habit of Baptist churches that we diminish the Spirit of God in some sense. We are so fearful of being called a charismatic or a Pentecostal or somebody that operates in the spiritual gifts that we sometimes shy away from this all-important doctrine. But the Holy Spirit's presence in our life is so important. The Bible says He is the Comforter. How many of you have needed comfort from time to time? And you know, and God the Father is sitting on His throne, and the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and we understand that they are very real in our lives, but it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. He is the presence that is in your life all the time. And so we need to make sure that we recognize the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, there is also the danger of going as far as the charismatics. And the charismatics will worship the Holy Spirit. And they will glorify the Holy Spirit, but they will elevate Him above the level of Jesus Christ. And they will seek after Him, seek after the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and elevate Him above God the Father and God the Son. And that is not what the Holy Spirit has come to do. The Bible says in John chapter 17, when He has come, He will testify of Me. You need to understand that the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, that person of the Holy Spirit, His job, His function in your life is manifold. One is to convict you of sin. Secondly, He is to bring comfort to your life when you need it. He is that presence that will never leave you nor forsake you. But we need to also understand that He is bringing people to Jesus Christ. He is glorifying the Father. The Bible says He will not speak of Himself, but He will speak of Me. He is pointing people to Jesus Christ. And that's where the charismatics get in trouble. They also get in trouble because they begin to seek the gifts. Now the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. But the best gift was love. In 1 Corinthians 13. You see, too many people in Corinth, they were carnal. The Corinthian church was a carnal church. And in 1 Corinthians 12, they began to seek after these gifts. And they would want to speak in tongues. And everybody wanted to do miracles. And everybody wanted to speak in tongues. They were sign gifts. You know, I remember I was in Bible college. We went over, some of my buddies and I were out on visitation on a Saturday morning from our church. And when visitation was over, one of the fellows said, well, let's go to Taco Bell. And so we went over to Taco Bell. And we were sitting in there. And there was this lady that was jumping around from table to table talking to everybody. And we were the only four guys in there, and the place was packed, and it was all women. And we didn't understand, but there was a conference for the Catholic Women's League, and it was a charismatic branch of the Catholic Women's League. And so this woman was running around, she was fellowshipping with all of them, and then they all eventually left table by table, and she came and pulled up a chair right up to our table. And she began to share the gospel with us, which we appreciated. He said, man, we appreciate you sharing the gospel with us, but we're born again. We know the Lord. As a matter of fact, we're all training to be preachers and missionaries and what have you, whatever we were training for at the table. We told her that, and she says, oh, that's great. She says, let me ask you this. Have you spoken tongues? We said, no, ma'am. And she says, oh, you gotta seek after the gift of tongues. You gotta seek. Do you know the Bible never told anybody to seek those gifts? Covet earnestly the best gift, and that was love. Everybody can do that. But you know the problem is we get so busy seeking the gifts, we ought to seek the giver of the gifts. You need to have a relationship with Him. Do you know why my wife gives me birthday gifts? Because I have a relationship with her. Because she wants to have a relationship with me. I got to be honest with you, my wife will always say, well, what do you want for your birthday? I say, nothing. My mom, it drives her crazy. What do you want for Christmas? Nothing. Well, you might just get nothing then. She always says that. But I don't. I'm past that age where we get up at 4 a.m. My mom still does. But you know what I'm excited about on Christmas Day is watching my kids open their gifts. And seeing, I'm not interested in the gifts anymore, but I'm interested in the relationship with the person. And we give gifts. And I try to be creative in the gifts. You know, I remember as one time I gave my brother a gift. And I remember when I was a boy, my brother and I used to love the ABC's Wide World of Sports on a Saturday afternoon that one time a year when they put the Harlem Globetrotters on. Man, they were fun to watch. So I heard they were coming to Hamilton. So I went and I bought him and his daughter, Cole, was just a baby at the time. I bought them two tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters. And his eyes lit up when he opened that box. I thought that was it. I like giving gifts that people will enjoy and appreciate. And you know, that's why God gives you those gifts. But not only does He give them to you so that you'll enjoy them and appreciate them, but that you might use them for His glory and give them back to Him. The problem is too many people are seeking the gifts and not seeking the giver of the gifts. He is the person of the Holy Spirit. He is God in the Spirit. And He has come into your life to be a presence in your life, to be a blessing in your life, to be a comfort in your life, to keep you right in this life, to convict you of sin, to cleanse you of sin, to help you and guide you and direct you and show you the right way. But He'll always point you to Jesus Christ. It was interesting, yesterday I went to a wedding, and the pastor, the fellow that was getting married, is a good man, and he had a friend that came, and he said, I'd like him to open the service in prayer. And the fellow was, he had prayed with the, they asked him to pray when they prayed with the groomsmen and stuff, and the fellow was kind of out there. And man, he was praying, and he was speaking tongues a little bit, and he'd use other funny, he'd use verses from the Bible, and then there were Bible versions we didn't know they were. And so the pastor, it was Pastor Eagle, said to him, he says, you know, he says, I really appreciate it. He said, we're a King James church. We follow the King James Bible, and we don't believe so. He says, would you mind just praying? And we'd appreciate that so much. And the fellow says, however the Lord leads me, brother. And Brother Eagles was bothered by that response. He said, I don't know why I'm bothered. I said, because the Holy Spirit will not lead him to be disobedient to the pastor of this church. He's a guest here. And his attitude was wrong. I really believe that with all my heart. The fellow was a nice fellow, and he was right. And I understand what he's trying to say. Well, I just want to obey God. I understand that, but God had given that church a pastor. And that pastor asked him as a courtesy, would you please respect the beliefs of our church? You are a guest here. And he refused to do it. That's not following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never lead you in disobedience. He will lead you in obedience. He'll point you to Christ. He'll lead you to obey the Word of God. So let's look at a few things here today. Turn, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at those gifts of the Spirit just in reference today so that you can see what they are. But I want to encourage you this morning, make sure you're seeking the giver of the gifts. He is the person of the Holy Spirit. I read a book several years ago written by Oswald J. Smith of the People's Church in Toronto, and he wrote on this subject and just did a fantastic job on the person of the Holy Spirit. I would recommend it to everybody. He will take you through the Word of God and show you that He is a person. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And by the way, you will need a shower after we read these. It just feels icky. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told also, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I want you to notice that if you have this person of the Holy Spirit living within your life, if He is in your life and teaching you and guiding you and cleansing you of sin, there ought to be these fruits in your life. That's what the Bible teaches. The fruits of the Spirit are. Fruits grow naturally. Do you know that? I know that we have some men here that are farmers, and Mr. Vogel has all those orchards and apples and cherries and all kinds of things out there, and he has to spray them to keep the bugs off, but you know that's a result of the curse. That man would have to till the ground by the sweat of his brow. But you know that those apples, they'll grow naturally. They might have a worm or two in them, but they'll still grow if you don't spray them. Do you know what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm. But you know that they'll grow on their own, won't they? And we were out at my mom's last week, and the boys hit a ball over the fence, and I had to climb into the wooded area there and the weeds and the bushes. But I was glad I did, because there's all kinds of raspberries growing wild there. and things will grow. That's just natural for plants to have their fruits. And the Bible says that if you will have this person, the Holy Spirit, living in you, you'll have some of these fruits. The problem is we're so busy seeking the fruits, we neglect the person. You need to recognize the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, look at what you say. Well, when did the Holy Spirit come into my life? When the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelt you. The Bible says He was the earnest of your inheritance. He was the down payment, if you will. He came into your life, and the Bible says He will seal you unto the day of redemption. He has come into your life, and that word earnest is a down payment. In other words, it's just a taste of what you'll get when you get to heaven. Having the Holy Spirit's joy in your life, and comfort and peace, and all those things that He does for you. But let me encourage you. Say, well, I'd love to have some of these things. I'd love to have love and joy and peace. That's a natural thing that will grow from a life that is walking in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Make sure that you have the Spirit of God in your life. And there's a lot of other things that we are looking for in this life. You know, we're called to be holy as Christ is holy. But you know, you'll never be holy apart from the Holy Spirit. Doesn't work that way. You cannot be holy apart from the Holy One. You cannot be sanctified without the Sanctifier. You can strive to be justified and be right with God, but you'll never do it without the person of the Holy Ghost daily working in your life. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command of God. And that Spirit of God comes and He causes us to have these fruits, but also He allows us to be holy as He is holy. He allows us to be sanctified as He is the Sanctifier. But you will never, listen to this, if you strive to be holy without the help of the Holy Spirit, you are doing it in the flesh. And they're just dead works. How many of you here, don't raise your hand, how many of you here tried for years to quit something? Quit smoking, quit drinking. But then you got saved. The Holy Spirit came in your life and God changed you. It was the Holy Spirit that did it. For years you tried in the flesh and you couldn't do it. You read self-help books, but that's all they were, was self-helping self. How could we think that our weak flesh could help our weak flesh? You need the Holy Spirit. You need the person to come into your life and to rearrange some things to help you. Many spend their time struggling for something rather than recognizing someone. Let me say this. I know I'm just trying to tweak your thinking a little bit. But it is fatal to your spiritual growth to seek all these gifts or to try to work out these things in your flesh without the Holy Spirit's help and presence. It's fatal. You won't grow. You need God's Holy Spirit. That's His purpose. The Bible says when He has come, He will teach you all things. That's His function. The Bible says if you'll turn to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, look there with me. In verse 7 it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Look what it says in verse 8. And when He is come. He is a person. I'll remind you again. Many say that they are seeking for some of the Holy Ghost. That's what the charismatics always say. We're looking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whoever told them to seek? You know the Lord Jesus Christ, when the disciples were waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know what they were told to do? Go to Jerusalem and wait. Do you know that the Holy Spirit's already come? We don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's already come. The Bible says for this day and age, that was if you'll turn back to Acts chapter 1, you will see with me, as the Holy Scriptures say, the Bible says in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. What's it say? Not many days hence. When did the Holy Ghost baptize people? Just a few days right after this. That was it. Now the Holy Ghost has come, hasn't He? Now let me say this. If we are saying, well, we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we are saying is, we want cloven tongues like of a fire to come and sit upon our heads. We want to be able to preach in an unknown tongue. Do you know that that's what biblical tongues was? It wasn't this babbling that you hear. It wasn't this repetitious syllables that you hear. The Bible says that Peter spoke to devout Jews from every nation under heaven, and every one of them heard it in their own tongue. That was what tongues were. And it was a sign to the unbelieving Jews there that they really had the power of God. That the Holy Ghost had come upon them. But friends, the baptism of the Holy Ghost has been completed. It's done. It empowered the church. And now what we need is the filling of the Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit comes through surrender and obedience to God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 is the verse you're looking for. If you're wondering, the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Nobody is told today to wait any longer. He's already come. You know, I'm so thankful that the day I got saved, the Holy Spirit came into my life. I didn't have to wait. You know, a lot of people today have still got Christ on the cross. And they're just crucifying Him afresh and anew every day. And they go into the confessional booths and they talk to their priest and they crucify that Christ over and over again for the sin. No, Christ said, "It is finished. It's done. It's over." The Jews are still waiting for their Messiah. But Jesus Christ came and He fulfilled every prophecy of the Old Testament. And He said, "It is finished." And there are those out there today that say, "Well, we're going to go to church on Sunday and we're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit." Friends, He's already come. He is here. All you have to do is surrender to Him. The moment I got saved, I didn't have to wait because He'd already come 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, "Go to Jerusalem and wait," and not many days hence, He would come. When He comes, He will reprove the world of sin. John chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible says He will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "How then can we be holy?" Look at our text in Romans chapter 8 this morning. That was just a little bit of introduction. Let me show you a couple of things out of Romans chapter 8. How can we be holy? In Romans chapter 8, by the way, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 different times. You think it was important to Paul? It was important to God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, the Bible says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin," look what He says He did, "condemned sin in the flesh." You know, so many times we go to the Lord in prayer and we say, "Lord, well, this sin that is in my life, would You..." And we just seek victory and we seek victory and we seek victory over and over again, and we continuously fail. And you say, "Well, why do we fail?" Because you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. So many times we practice Romans chapter 6. The Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" That's the attitude of many. "Yes, I know I've sinned, but I'll pray and I'll get it right with God." And then they'll get up off their knees and then they'll go and do the same thing over again. And we call it, "Well, everybody has a besetting sin, preacher." Yeah, but you don't have to. "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." That's the Holy Spirit. And we seek victory and we seek victory and we seek victory. Say, "God, why can't I get this out of my life? Why can't I be holy?" Friends, we miss the mark because we don't realize there's power in the person of the Holy Spirit. We need to surrender it to Him. We need to be crucified daily in the flesh. But all the self-help programs in the world are not going to change your life. You need Jesus Christ's Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that when the Holy Spirit was come, He says, "After ye shall receive" what? "Power. To be witnesses unto me." But that Holy Spirit's power that will take disciples out into the world to preach the gospel is the same power that can set you free from sin. It's the same power that can cleanse your heart and make you whole. It's the same power that can make you a new creature in Christ. It's the same power that can set you free. You need the person of the Holy Spirit. To surrender full control to the Holy Spirit is to have His holiness in your life. Letting Him work through you. Turn to Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, each one of you are called to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ which liveth in me. You say, well, how do I have the presence of the Holy Spirit living with me and guiding me and teaching me and cleansing me of sin? You have to crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Crucify. He said, what's that mean? It means destroy the works of the flesh in your life. Get them out of your life. I told folks in Hamilton many times, the example I like to use, there was a store on one side of the street. There was a Max Milk on the one side and there was an Avondale on the other. And I said, if my wife says to me, you need to pick up a bag of milk on the way home, I always went to the Avondale. And so what was the difference? Because the Max Milk sold pornography, the Avondale did not. And the Max Milk sold cigarettes and the Avondale did not. And the Max Milk sold the near beer or the fake beer or whatever, it still has alcohol in it, but the Avondale did not. And so I just told our people, when you have a choice like that, you consciously decide, I'm going to go to the place without temptation. I'm going to crucify the flesh. Those things that might appeal to sinful flesh, I'm just going to stay away from them. I'm not going to go there anymore. Got to be careful about those things. I was in Bible college. We were out one day, and again, I believe we were on visitation or something. And at the end of the time, it was Sunday lunch or something. And at Sunday lunch, the cafeteria didn't have lunch for you or supper or whatever. And so you had to go and eat out. And so we were going looking for a restaurant, and we were some guys. And somebody said, why not this restaurant? It was just like a family restaurant, like the highway or whatever. And the one guy says, no, I can't go in there. Well, man, they got good food. Why can't you go in there? He says, because they have a bar. I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, he says, just the waitress carrying a drink by me is enough temptation to make me fall. He said, I was an alcoholic before I got saved. And he said, so what he was saying is, I've made the decision to crucify the flesh. I've made the decision that I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to let temptation be put. Now, does that mean he'd never be tempted? No, there'd be things you can't avoid. You're driving down the street, there's billboards everywhere, aren't there? You can't avoid it all, but the things that you can avoid, you should. And so he crucified his flesh. So we just went to McDonald's or somewhere. You just have to be careful, because it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Tonight, if the Lord will let me, I mentioned on Wednesday night, there's five different sins listed in the Bible that you can do against the Holy Spirit. I'm going to preach on those five sins against the Holy Spirit tonight. But one of those sins is you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. There's a story of an old native preacher. And he was preaching to his congregation, and he used this illustration. He said, the flesh and the spirit are like two great wolves. And he says they're battling each other and fighting each other and battling each other. And the flesh is fighting the spirit. And sometimes it seems like he overcomes a little bit. And then the spirit is fighting the flesh. And it seems like he overcomes a little bit. And it's just a constant battle in our lives. And one of the students put up his hand and he says, which one wins? And the wise old preacher says, the one you feed is the one that 'll be stronger. We have to feed the Spirit of God. You say, why do you always tell the kids don't be listening to rock music? Because they're feeding the flesh, not the Spirit. You say, why are you always saying be careful what you watch? Because what you watch feeds the flesh, or it can feed the Spirit. Be careful. I remember years ago, Dr. Hiltz preached in Hamilton. Man, what a sweet guy. Right in the middle of his message, he stopped and he started saying, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And he sang about 10 different verses, be careful, little nose, what you smell. We don't need that dope, he said. And he just went on and on and on. And, I mean, he had the seniors singing it. Some people can get away doing that, and he can. You know, he's such a sweet guy. But what a principle that little song, Sunday school song, teaches us, isn't it? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We ought to be careful because you are feeding something. You're feeding something. And the one you feed will win. He said, well, the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in me. But if you're going to feed the flesh and feed the flesh and feed the flesh, you're not trusting in that. And you're allowing your flesh to overcome. Feed the Spirit of God. Please the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. How can we be holy? By feeding the Spirit of God and trusting in His power and letting Him break the chains of sin. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit leads us today. In Acts chapter 13, we see as Paul is about to go out on missionary work. You can turn there if you like. We'll just look at a couple of verses. In Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let me encourage you, if you can read the book of Acts at some point, read it. Sit down when you have an hour and read Acts chapter 1 right through to the end of the chapter. And you will see that every time Paul moved or was changing direction or was going to preach somewhere, it was because the Holy Ghost told him to. That further goes to say that he is a person. For the Bible says he spake unto them. You know, you say, well, does the Holy Spirit, does He talk to us like that today? I believe in the still, small voice, He pricks our hearts. I was just, where's Kelvin? Kelvin's here today, isn't he? There he is. I was just talking to Kelvin yesterday, and you remember he had been praying about going to China. He shared with me yesterday that he doesn't believe God wants him to go. And he says it was something. He says, as soon, correct me if I'm wrong, but as soon as he asked the church to pray, is that right? Almost immediately, the Holy Spirit impressed upon his heart, don't go. You know, all of us in the room could have said, Calvin, don't go, don't go. We love you. We want you to stay. But isn't it better that we just pray and the Holy Spirit says, don't go, don't go. I've got something for you here. That's how God's Holy Spirit, the still small, He says, you know, there are times, folks, you can't even explain it, but you just know it to be true. You can't understand why God is, there's a burden upon your heart. There's something that's pricking you to go in a certain direction. You can't understand. But when you're obedient to that Holy Spirit, He blesses. And He still guides us and leads us. He opens doors, He closes doors. But the Holy Spirit of God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to be filled with Him. He wants you to rely upon Him. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. There's some things that He will do for you. The Bible says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Look what it says in verse 26. In verse 26, the Bible says this. We get down upon our knees in front of the altar, and we're like Hannah. We don't know what to say. We're just weeping and praying. And the Bible says Eli marked her mouth, that her mouth was moving, but no words were coming forth. And so he thought she was like a drunken woman. He says, I'm not drunk. I just have a sorrowful spirit. And so she tried to pray, but couldn't pray. Have you ever been like that? You just get on your face before God and you just don't know what to say. The Bible says, the Holy Spirit says, you don't know how to pray. I'll pray for you. So He talks to God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 27 that says, and He that searcheth the hearts, that's God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So it's almost like this. God is up in heaven and He's looking down and he looks down to Al Fury and He says, hey! Holy Spirit within Al Fury, how are things going? And the Holy Spirit says, well, he needs some help in this area. And I'm down here praying, God, what's wrong with me? And the Holy Spirit and God are just going back and forth and interceding on my behalf. Isn't that wonderful? But you know, it doesn't work unless you listen to it. Unless you follow it, unless you obey it. The Bible says the Spirit, He's helping you. He's helping your infirmities, your weaknesses. He says, for we know not what we should pray as for we ought, but the Spirit is making intercession. And He that searcheth your hearts, He knows what the Spirit wants. So God in you, the Holy Spirit is communicating with God the Father. And you say, well, what's the point of all that? Read down. Here's what happens. All things work together for good. You know, a lot of people quote that verse, don't we? And we know that all things work together. You know, it'll all just come out in the wash because that's for the people that are letting the Holy Spirit do the work. Letting the Holy Spirit pray on your behalf and letting God change and remake things in your life. The Holy Spirit's almost like He's getting permission from God. God, can I change some things down? Go ahead, change some things in that life. The Holy Spirit begins to work. But you got to trust Him. You got to let Him do what He knows is best. I can't tell you, and I'm sure all you parents in this room have done the same thing. Your kids will say, but why? And you say, because we know what's best for you. We've been down that road. I've come to understand that as my kids get older, sometimes they look at me and I say, well, okay, I guess they're going to have to learn this the hard way. They're going to have to find out for themselves just like I did or my parents did. But there's a lot of times I try to tell my kids, listen, we know what it's like. We've been there. Your kids can't picture you as a 14-year-old. That's the problem. But we say, listen, would you listen to us? Would you trust us? Would you rely upon our wisdom? Would you let us help you? It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit, friends. He's just pleading with you. God has sent me to be your comforter. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and He had to leave this earth so that I could come. And when I came, He says, I began to reprove you of your sin. Would you let me cleanse your sin? Would you let me reveal it? Would you let me deal with it? He said, I've come that I can comfort you. Would you rely upon me so I can comfort you? I've come that I might lead you and guide you. Would you trust me? I've come that I can pray for the things in your life that you don't even see are wrong. But would you let me talk to God about them? Would you let me change them in your life? He wants the leadership in your life today. But you have to let Him have control. Ephesians 5:18, I'll close with this, says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A lot of people say, well, that's a verse about drinking. I don't believe it is. I believe it's a verse about control. He was saying to those Ephesians, he says, you can be controlled by something else other than the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine because that controls you. Now, there's plenty of verses to talk about drinking. You understand? That's a whole other message. But don't be drunk with wine. We could almost insert some other things, don't we? Don't be caught up with the things of this world. Don't be caught up with entertainment, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be caught up with drugs, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't let other things control you, but be controlled by the Spirit of God. Make sure your relationship with God is right first. He wants to have that relationship with you. Let's pray. Father, help us understand. Speak to our hearts. Father, as we think about Your Holy Spirit today, we're thankful for the many thousands of verses in the Bible that speak of Him, and yet it seems we, especially Baptists, seem to push Him aside for fear of being called charismatic. Lord, He's such a part of our lives. Father, we would have never had a relationship with You if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin and pointing us to the Savior through Your Holy Word. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that as You would impress upon our hearts today, we pray, Lord, that though we know He is a person, would You just continue to impress it upon our hearts that we can walk with Him, walk in the Spirit, trust Him, follow His leading in our lives, Lord, that we might bring more glory to You than we ever have before. Father, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.